Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lawrence Jackson Jr., a.k.a. the Fantasy Football Lord. You're now tuned into the Lord Don't Lose podcast. Work, 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 work.
That's hard work. That's hard work. That's hard work. Yeah. That's hard work. That's hard work. That's hard work. Yeah. That's hard work. That's hard work. Mama, I hope this help. I'm just praying on my work.
What a day it is. What a day it is, folks. The NFL playoffs are upon us. The regular season over with. Fantasy football over with. It's a great time. It is a great time. It's bittersweet because we know football almost over. But this is a time to enjoy the games. You get to enjoy a game one at a time. The best of the best. You know, you could cheer for your teams. You could place your bets on the games, man. It's just a great time of the year to enjoy the last month of football for this season. And it's just a blessing that we even got through this NFL season. We had bumps in the road with the COVID situation. Players got COVID. They missed games. And then you had your regular injuries that you have every year, man. So it was just good just to get through the season without it having to be completely shut down. You know what I'm saying? So now we here at NFL playoff time. So what we going to do? We going to talk NFL playoffs. And to do that, I've brought in two special guests, both returning guests to the Lord Don't Lose podcast. First, I have my guy, senior fantasy and gambling analyst for Sports Illustrated, Corey Parson, will be here to break down the NFC side of the playoff bracket. And he'll also go over some betting tips with you on that end as well to break down the AFC side of the NFL playoffs. I got my man's Brian McFadden, right? Two-time Super Bowl champ with the Pittsburgh Steelers, currently a CBS football analyst and also the co-host of the All Things Covered podcast with his cousin, Patrick Peterson. Yeah. That Patrick Peterson, cornerback from the Arizona Cardinals. I have those two guys, B Mac and Corey, on in just a little while to get into some NFL playoff talk, man. But I just wanted to say real quick, man, if you're listening now, I appreciate you, right? I appreciate the people that tuned in this whole season to get your fantasy advice and to get your NFL reviews and previews. You know, we just gonna keep this thing going, man. So if this voice is in your ears right now, man, just know that I really appreciate that, man. Cause you don't really, from my position, man, you don't really ever think that people will actually be listening to the things that you spew. So I am truly grateful for that, man. And we just gonna keep on enjoying some football, man. I got Corey coming on first. All right, back to join me again for this playoff edition of the Lord Don't Lose podcast. I got my dog, I got the homie Corey Parson, gambling analyst and fantasy editor for Sports Illustrated. Welcome back, my friend. What's good with you, man?
My man, Lord Don't Lose, what's going on with you? Hopefully you didn't do too much losing during the fantasy football season, but now we are on the verge of the NFL playoffs, so it's still money to be made and wins to be had.
Yes, indeed. It is definitely a time when the biggest wins could be made, because now all our focus is on the NFL playoffs, and that's exactly why I brought you here, because everybody knows that you were one of the OGs and the experts in the game, in the fantasy game, and in the gambling game. That's why right now I want to get your input on the NFC playoff picture. We're going to kind of go through it, just a real quick little something through every game that's going on this weekend. Now, we'll talk the NFC, and on the NFC side, we got some heavy favorites going on as opposed to the AFC. Looking at the Saints and the Bears matchup, the Bears, who are actually backing into the playoffs on the 8-8 record, but they're there nonetheless. Mitchell Trubisky gets another shot. How do you see this game going down with the Bears and the Saints?
Well, it's going to be interesting, obviously. You see the Bears was able to start to run the football, and you've seen my man, MVP Mitch, I say that jokingly, start to improve his play a little bit as we start to see the offense start to, you know, play better than they have, especially down the stretch. David Montgomery was a guy who helped a lot of fantasy managers win fantasy football championships with his play down the stretch.
Yes, sir.
Definitely warranting a fantasy comeback player of the year. But now when you look at this game, New Orleans Saints are a team that's very tough. And they, you know, they're very tough. Obviously, you want to see, make sure that their COVID and health protocols are good to go and they have a full roster. As long as they have a full roster, I think they can make pretty light work of the Bears. I'd be worried about that backdoor covered. So I'm really going to look for myself a game to tease this with, try to get that 10 down to that magic number of 3. Maybe if you can even buy it and get it down to 2.5, depending on how your shop takes it. So I'm looking to move that number down and tease it with something. If I had to bet it straight up, I would lay the 10, but I worry about the backdoor cover. But the New Orleans Saints should definitely walk away with the victory in this one. Even though the Saints have had troubles in their playoff runs the past couple seasons, I do think they have enough to get past the Bears.
Right, right. They actually stumbled last year in the wild card round at home versus the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. Now, I think we'll –
home teams are always, always, always very etchy in wild card games, but I think the Saints are just that much better than the Bears.
Yeah, I feel like the defense of the Saints, that they're on point, and like you mentioned earlier, David Montgomery has been running better, but this Saints defense, that's a whole new animal with that front seven. They got it covered on the back end. Do you think Mitchell Trubisky? Do you think he'll be able to sustain a good game against that crazy, vaunted Saints pass rush?
Probably not. You know, when you look at the history of Mitchell Trubisky, I'm just going to be honest with you. When you look at the history of Mitchell Trubisky, like we said, he had some good games down the stretch, but it wasn't against this type of opponent, you know what I'm saying, going on the road in this type of environment. Now, I don't know what the situation is going to be with fans this weekend. Obviously, that's a raucous joint when it's full.
Oh, yeah.
So more
than
likely, it's not going to be full. But still, you expect the Saints to come out there and get a solid victory in this one. Laying that 10 would be tough for me, though. I'm looking to tease that with something else.
Right, right. Moving along to the 4-5 matchup on the NFC side, which this is crazy that this is the 4 and the 5, because you got the Bucks in the Washington football team, Bucks -8.5. Again, Tom Brady, man, I don't know what's with it. This guy gets the Washington football team, the NFC East champ, to fall right into his lap. What do you make of this game?
Listen, it's not going to be easy. Obviously, Tampa's the more talented team. They have the better quarterback play, kind of better all across the board. Washington brings that front, though.
Yes.
And that front can be very devastating at times. And we've seen Tom Brady struggle against teams with tough fronts, particularly in the postseason, particularly against NFC East teams. I don't want to have to bring up Eli Manning and all the struggles that he's had against those guys.
Listen, those two Super Bowl losses that the Patriots had with Tom Brady at quarterback versus the Giants, both times the Giants had that front seven, like you just spoke of, with Justin Tuck, OC, and all those guys. Those guys got to him. And now the Washington football team, they do boast a defensive front that we've heard it all season, all first rounders, with the prize possession player being Chase Young. Chase Young, actually, I'm sure you heard the message he sent to Tom Brady. He said, "I want Tom Brady. Tom, I'm coming." Now, is it a mistake for the young bull to come at one of the best players to ever play the game like that?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a mistake. I think it shows extreme confidence. Listen, Tom Brady doesn't need bulletin board material. He knows that they're coming after him, and he is aware that front is going to be able to give them trouble. So it's really going to be on that offensive line. Tom Brady getting the ball out there quickly. The guys like Antonio Brown, they should be able to control the tempo of this game. But once again, that number is inflated. This could be right here. It could be a good game to tease that New Orleans Saints number with. Get both those numbers down and hit them that way if you can get it at pretty good juice for yourself. So that's what I'd be looking to do with these two games in the NFC right here. And you might be able to add a third team to it when you go over to the AFC side.
Right, right. Yeah, so what do you – now, we're not worried about We're not worried about the Washington football team on the defensive side of the ball, but do you think they could generate enough offense to actually make it a game?
Well, the way Washington plays is they generate offense kind of off the fact of getting short fields on defense, being able to create some turnovers, and, you know, just getting after it. They let the defense lead the way. They're well head coached by Rivera. So this is a tough team, and
they got your boy back, Terry McLaurin, who's healthy, and that's a big bonus. They really need him if they're going to have any chance to get this against this team. But at the end of the day, you got the Bucs over the Washington football team, correct?
Yeah, you have to take the Bucs in this situation right here. I think Tom Brady moves on. Better year for the NFC East. It could have been tougher. But right now, when you look at the football team, they just don't have the pieces to compete. But I do believe that Washington will put up a good fight.
Yeah. In the last NFC game of the weekend, which will probably be – we're at least expecting it to be the closest. It's got the closest spread, Seahawks -4 versus the Los Angeles Rams. Over under 42.5 here. This is all dependent on, you would think, the health of Jared Goff coming in this week for them to even have a chance. But what do you see in this game? Does Russ get back cooking to how he was in the earlier part of the season?
Well, it's go time right now, and this is what they play the season for. But obviously, they have a very tough opponent. Whenever you see these division matchups, particularly in the postseason, it's going to be difficult, more or less so for the home team. So I think the Rams also coming in and put up a good fight. I actually would take the number with the Rams, even if Goff does not play. I think the Rams can hang in this game. They've given the Seahawks trouble historically. And like I said, you look at that number of home teams in the playoffs. So I do like the Seahawks to win the game, but I think that but I think that the spread will get covered by the Los Angeles Rams in this situation. So, listen, Russ will get it cooking enough, and I like the under in this game as well, particularly, you know, when you look at that back end and what the Rams have in the secondary.
Right on. I'm with that. So we got you got all favorites to win outright this weekend. So now we don't have, obviously, we don't have the numbers and the spreads and all that for the divisional round weekend. But with your winners from wild card weekend, this is how it would match up for the divisional round in the NFC. You would have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going to Green Bay, and then you would have the Seahawks going to New Orleans. So if you have the Bucs going to the Packers, how do you see that one shaking out, and who moves on? Do the Packers avenge that loss in cold-ass Lambeau?
Yeah, the Packers are going to have to avenge that loss. That was a pretty tough loss. But when you look at the situation, right, I think that Tom Brady goes in there. He plays a good game, but I think eventually the season comes to an end. I think a motivated Aaron Rodgers, especially at this time of year, coming off the disappointments of the past few seasons, I think they go out. I think they take this game very seriously. I don't really see no letdown in the pack. So I do think that they'll have a chance to advance to the NFC Championship game.
I'm with you on that one. And they've also started to play better defense. In fact, they, quote unquote, held Derrick Henry to 98 yards on 23 carries. Because if you can get Derrick Henry to have only 98 yards, you're doing pretty well for yourself. So that would leave us with another divisional matchup, the Seahawks going to the Saints. What would you think about that matchup in the divisional round?
Well, the Seahawks going to the Saints, if Jamal Adams plays, I think the Seahawks going in and get the victory. Jamal Adams has kind of been the best player on that defense all season. He's kind of right at the ship. But he's if he's healthy and can go, his health status is going to be very important to what happens in that game when you get to the divisional round. But I'm just going to fade the Saints at that point. I've seen the Saints in this spot too many times.
Yeah.
And I know, listen, they've done great, you know, in the regular season and building up these big records and getting to deep in the playoffs. But I just look at the Saints team as a team that's just missing. We see Michael Thomas not show up this year. So I look at it as it could be the last stand for Drew Brees. And I will take the Seattle Seahawks to upset to pull off the upset if they go into the dome to face the Saints.
Russell Wilson rising to the occasion, and that would leave the Seahawks going to Lambeau in what will be a rematch of that NFC Championship several years back, where the muff onside kick by the Packers let the Seahawks advance to the Super Bowl, right? A lot of players different on the teams, but the quarterbacks are the same. And if the Packers and the Seahawks end up in the NFC Championship, that would put together the top two quarterbacks in the NFC, most would arguably say. How do you see that game shaking out there?
I think it's the Packers, yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, now the favorite to win the NFL MVP. Davante Adams is a player who is very tough to deal with. So I'm going to take the Green Bay Packers in that one. I think it's a long time coming for the Packers.
Yeah.
Obviously, it looks like Mike McCarthy was the problem. I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers playing with, like, outside of Adams. No real superstar talent around him. Have trouble running the football at the time, but then sometimes they can get it going. But Aaron Rodgers in these spots, trust me, as a Dallas Cowboy fan, I know Aaron Rodgers can get it done, and I look for him to get it done this upcoming season. So I do think that the Packers are going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Well, my friend, I agree with you there. I don't even know who I got in the games before that. I just know I got the Packers going to the Super Bowl. Like you said, Aaron Rodgers is arguably playing the best football he's ever played at age 37 right now. He's got a career high in touchdowns at 48, up against only 5 interceptions. Like you said, he's the likely MVP. Now, we won't go through the AFC now, but who do you got facing the Packers in the Super Bowl, and who do you got coming out on top?
I think it's going to be very tough to climb through the AFC. The AFC has been real tough this season. And listen, everybody loves the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and what they've been able to do. And obviously Patrick Mahomes comes into this AFC playoff looking like he's primed for another run, him and Andy Reid in the bunch. But I got to be honest with you. I think it's going to be a tough physical AFC championship game. I think Mahomes and the boys will just outdo the Baltimore Ravens to be able to advance.
I'm
setting up for a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl, but do not be surprised if Lamar Jackson takes the Baltimore Ravens all the way there.
Damn it, man. I knew I liked you.
you
know what? It's like I feel like on the AFC side, the Ravens came in too hot, peaked too early last year. Everybody was on them. High expectations. They might have been riding a high horse. That team with the high expectations now is the Buffalo Bills.
Exactly. And you're right. The Buffalo Bills, all that team is coming in riding that high horse. Tough matchup to kick things off against the Colts. They should have enough for the Colts. And when you get into that second round and you start to play some of those other AFC teams, it's going to be some tough sledding out there for that Buffalo Bill team. Listen, everybody loves what the Bills have done this year. But in my opinion, and you see this a lot in sports, before you win, you have to lose.
You have to lose. And like you said, you wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens move on to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson in this Ravens team lost in a huge way last season in the divisional round at home after 14-2 season. Lamar Jackson, it was like everything was too perfect. You know?
That loss is going to sting, and they're going to remember that one going into the game this weekend versus Tennessee.
I hear you, my man. I certainly do appreciate your input. You gave out some great points, some great betting points for our listeners. I'm sure they will appreciate it. how'd you do in fantasy this year, man?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I actually had a very good season in fantasy. Outside of, listen, a crushing blow, losing Will Fuller in one of my big leagues late in the season. Oof. And then obviously the loss of Austin Eckler really put one of my bigger teams in a bind. But you know what's so funny? I've been playing in high-stake leagues for years now. And you know what? I had a couple big high-stakes wins in 2016, 2017. And then in 2018 and 2019, I fell off. So I didn't want to be a donator. So I kind of took my, you know, I kind of pulled back on my league entry fee,
right.
And of course I would go out and have a good year, but there is a very prominent expert league called the King's Classic. Normally in the King's Classic, we draft the teams at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
I think that's the one you told me about, right?
No doubt. Obviously this year with the pandemic, we could not do that. We went in there and we got in that auction, and the team that we put together was able to take it down and win the championship, mainly off the back of Justin Herbert. And Justin Herbert came up big this year for a lot of fantasy managers.
He certainly did.
Also, Jonathan Taylor getting hot down the stretch didn't hurt either.
Oh, man, this dude messed around and got 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards.
Just like that.
Boy, it's crazy, man. But I appreciate you coming on, my friend. We always going to talk. We gonna shoot stuff every time, man. I appreciate you, and can't wait to have you on again.
My man, keep doing your thing, and everybody look out for you in the future. You're a star in this industry.
Appreciate you, man. I'll holler at you. You heard it, my man Corey. Got them Green Bay Packers coming up by that NFC with that bad man, Aaron Rodgers. And I got to say, I agree with that. Now let's get in to the AFC side of the football. I'm going to bring on my man, Brian McFadden. Let's get it. All right, folks, my next guest on today's show, Lord Don't Lose Podcast, is also a returning guest, and he will be helping break down the AFC playoff picture for the 2021 NFL playoffs. He is the two-time Super Bowl champ with the Pittsburgh Steelers, CBS football analyst, also the co-host of the All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden, a.k.a. B-Matt. What's happening with you, man?
Man, it's a great day to be alive. Thank you for having me.
For sure, for sure. Definitely great day to be alive. We finally got football playoffs on the horizon. It's bittersweet because we have playoffs, but it's almost over. So we got through the season, so that's also a good thing too. So now it's time for us to enjoy it while we can. For those who didn't know, I actually went against B-Mac in a fantasy matchup. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Team Florida versus Team Georgia. So the players, I'm from Georgia. I grew up in Atlanta. B-Mac is from Florida. You grew up in Broward County, right?
Yes, sir.
So we had to get players all from Florida and Georgia, respectively. He got me on that week. It was week 13, I believe. But I'll tell you what, I wish I would have got to play you the week Kamara scored them 6 touchdowns.
Hey, no question. I mean, any team that had Kamara that week, I know they had to win their respectable game that week because he was unbelievable.
Right, right. And Michael Gallup went for 2 tubs that weekend as well. So I think I caught you on the wrong week. So next season, we're going to have to revisit that.
No doubt.
I had my man Corey on here from Sports Illustrated breaking down the NFC. I want to get into the AFC matchups for this weekend and then beyond with you here. First, we have the number 2 seed Buffalo Bills -6.5 versus the 7 seeded Colts. How do you see that game going down?
Yo, I think that's going to be an entertaining ball game. The reason why I say that is because you look at how prolific the Bills' offense has been. I think over the last 5 games, they've averaged around 40 points. I mean, Josh Allen has been playing some of the best football. He's been playing the best football at the quarterback position in the AFC towards the month of December. Throughout the month of December, I don't think there's been another quarterback hotter than Josh Allen in the AFC. And that's saying a lot because we know Pat Mahomes plays for the Kansas City Chiefs, who also play in the AFC.
Yes.
But the numbers don't lie. Based on how well Buffalo's offense has played, I just talked about the number of points they've averaged in their last 5 games. You look at the numbers that he has provided, he's probably been the hottest quarterback in the AFC in the month of December. So I think we will continue to see that trend follow Buffalo and Josh Allen against the Indianapolis Colts, because the thing that the Colts do well, Buffalo really don't hang their hat on that aspect of the game, which is running the football.
Yes.
The Colts defensively, they do a great job in stuffing the run. They have some issues in the back end playing against, you know, the aerial attacks. And I know Brian Daboll, he's going to showcase Josh Allen like he's done the entire season. The same can be said for showcasing Stephon Diggs. So they're going to put up points. They're going to score. That's why I think it's going to be an entertaining ball game, because I think old man Phillip, man, Uncle Phil, is going to have
Phil
success as well. Yeah, and one thing I like to highlight, when you look at playoff football, look at some of the hot trends that will get into the playoffs. Phillip Rivers in the month of December, I mean, seven passing touchdowns and one interception,
yeah,
completing around 71% of his passes.
Yeah.
That's real good football.
Yeah, it is.
And I think I think we will see some of that same consistency from his end this weekend against Buffalo. And then Jonathan Taylor, he's emerged to be a feature guy for them. So, yeah, it's going to be an entertaining ball game. But if I had to pick a team, I'm still picking Buffalo. You know, I don't know if Buffalo can cover that 6.5. I think that's a bit it's a tall number,
yeah,
for them to cover against the Colts and how well they've played. But in all, and if you're talking about straight up, yes, I think Buffalo will win this ball game. But all in all, I think it's going to be entertaining.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think it'll be as hot as Buffalo's been. I think people kind of expecting them to get through this with ease. But like you mentioned, while Indianapolis isn't so tightened up on the back end, they do have a nice front seven. But like you also said, the Bills don't hang their hat on the running game. Now, the next game, the 3-6 matchup, which would be the third meeting of the season between the Steelers and the Browns. Now, you are a Steeler through and through, so I need you to be as unbiased as absolutely possible because you were teammates with the current quarterback, Big Ben Roethlisberger. Steelers minus 6. What you got there for me?
Steeler minus 6. I think this is one for this weekend, specifically because of what's at stake, the experience factor that Pittsburgh will have over Cleveland, and then the adversity the Browns are facing before the game even starts.
Right.
You know, hearing the head coach, Stefanski, who's been a real good coach for them, won't be on the sideline, some of his assistants. They had a few other positive tests today, and because of that, they haven't been able to get into the facility.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's important. I mean, I'm already hearing Baker Mayfield talking about, you know, how difficult it will be if they're not able to practice today. So mentally, that's going to be some adversity they're going to have to get over. Not to mention not having the chemistry, because if you don't practice, you know, you could get off to a slow start. And the last time Cleveland went to Pittsburgh, when the first time they played in Pittsburgh, I think Cleveland was 4-1. That game was really highlighted. People felt like this was an opportunity for Cleveland to show the NFL world there can be a competitive team. And they got took in the deep water early, and they drowned in the first quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that's 6 points. I think that's a good number, but I like Pittsburgh to cover because of the experience factor and just the uncomfortable week that the Cleveland Browns are going through, not being able to get into the facility and practice and watch film together as a team.
And it was also a pretty competitive game in week 17 as well, when Pittsburgh was minus Big Ben Roethlisberger and a few other starters. Now, the game that out of all the games this weekend, and when it comes to this spread, I'm the most confused about this. Well, I'm not too confused. I actually think it's kind of a trap. You got the Titans at home versus the Ravens, who are minus 3. Now, you say, why are the Ravens minus 3? The Tennessee Titans beat them in the regular season on the legs of Derrick Henry. They beat them last year in the playoffs. They kind of got the Ravens' number. Why do you feel like the Ravens are favorite this weekend?
They've been playing better football than Tennessee. Tennessee has had their number the last, recent matchups. But right now, the Ravens, man, they've been in playoff form since, six or seven weeks
yes.
ago. I mean, they're on a five-game winning streak.
They've had their backs against the wall. They started their playoffs already, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So they've been in playoff form, you know, going back the last 5 weeks. Five-game winning streak. Offensively, Lamar Jackson is looking like the MVP we saw in 2019 running the football. I don't think there's been a better offense on the ground than the Baltimore Ravens, averaging over 190 yards on the ground.
Yes, nuts.
So they're going to have success against Tennessee, and Tennessee's defense has been bad.
Yeah,
they've been bad on all three levels. They can't put pressure on you. They can't sack you. They can't stop the run. The pass defense has been up and down, and I think that's the reason why we're seeing the Ravens, the betting favorite. But the narrative has kind of changed from the last few times these two teams has played. Yes, the Ravens are the favorite, but I don't think the Ravens have pressure on them like they've had in the most recent matchups, primarily in the playoffs.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I agree. Last year they came in. I feel like the Buffalo Bills are coming in how the Ravens came in last season.
Yep. Now, I agree.
Now, right, we have the Ravens on the road, and they'll more than likely play nothing but road games all throughout the playoffs. So it's like, hey, just go out and ball. Now, a lot of people are seeing that, hey, the Titans won the last few matchups. They feeling like they're going to get free money on that money line. Mm-hmm. What do you have to say to those folks thinking that way?
Well, I think, you know, you gotta go with – I'm a believer when it comes to playoff football, I got to go with what's the most recent hot thing, you know, when it comes to streaks. One team has been playing real good football on both sides, right? And you can say whatever you want to say. You can say the Ravens they played the Little Sisters of the Poor. Well, they've made them look like the Little Sisters of the Poor.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Whoever Tennessee has played against, they've been struggling. I mean, last week against, Houston, and we know how bad Houston has been. Houston has been a one-man show
Deshaun lit them up.
And they almost lost. They almost squandered that victory away. So I feel like right now, you know, if you're talking about money and trying to win money, I think the Ravens are the safest bet because I trust the Ravens' defense more than I trust Tennessee's defense.
100%. So outright, you're going to go Ravens there.
No question.
Right. So then in the divisional matchup, that would give you the Bills versus the Steelers. Who would you go in that matchup?
Wow. It depends on what we saw from Pittsburgh round one against Cleveland. Right. And depends on what we saw from Buffalo round one. If Buffalo just dominates the Colts like they've been dominating opposing teams and Pittsburgh struggled, but they won, clearly I got to take Buffalo. If Pittsburgh win this ball game, looking like the team that went 11-0, especially on the defensive side, and we saw some woes from the Bills, I think I'd take Pittsburgh.
Right. To be honest, I got a weird feeling that the Steelers are going to roll on the Browns. And then that would leave us also with the Chiefs and the Ravens in the other divisional matchup, which now the Chiefs got in them the first time. And the Chiefs might very well would win this matchup. But I think it would be closer than what people would think.
Yeah, because, like I said, the narrative has changed for Baltimore. You know, they're not the favorites. Like last year, people felt like that was a team that could get to a championship. We're not really saying that right now. You know what I mean? We highlighting other teams like Buffalo, you know, highlighting clearly the Kansas City Chiefs. Then you look at the success Tennessee had in the postseason last year, being a game away from getting to the Super Bowl. You know, many people feel like they can make another deep run. So we're not really talking about Baltimore like we talked about them last year. That could be something that they need. Right. But not the same amount of pressure. So it's similar to what I said with the matchup with the hypothetical matchup with the Steelers and the Bills. It depends on how well Baltimore looks if they beat Tennessee. Right. For me to feel like, you know, they got a legit shot to beat Kansas City.
I think that whole AFC is just something in the AFC is going to surprise us.
Mm-hmm.
On the NFC side, I'm not sure who you got coming out the NFC. I got the Packers. Who do you got coming out the NFC?
It's hard to go against Aaron Rodgers right now.
It is.
Not to mention how well he's been playing and defensively, and they running the football, man, and you got to go up to Lambeau. They're playing some real good football, man. They're playing some real good football. And right now, I think it's not as sticky as the AFC. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's the Green Bay Packers and everybody else. Now, you can say the same thing about Kansas City, but Kansas City hasn't – their last 3-4 ball games, they haven't dominated like the Packers dominated in the regular season.
Kansas City Chiefs were one A.J. Terrell dropped interception away from losing that game.
Yep. That game, you remember they struggled against Miami, you know what I mean? So they had some struggles, but they won, but they didn't like – Man, Green Bay has been kicking people in the mouth.
Right. And sticking and moving. And let's also note that they, quote unquote, because for Derrick Henry, this is low, but they held him to 98 rushing yards. And they were able to win 40-14 in that matchup. So at the end of the day, let's say we got the Green Bay Packers coming out the NFC. Who would you have coming out the AFC and eventually coming out on top as Super Bowl champs?
Right now, you know, before we see any ball game, you know, I'll have to say Kansas City. But a lot can change, you know. I could have a different mindset, a different opinion about that early Monday morning. But right now, before we're not seeing any game,
right?
You
know, any games.
I'll go with Kansas City as well. I'll go chalk.
Right. Okay. And then hey, maybe the State Farm commercial Super Bowl just might happen.
No question.
It just might happen. So that's good. That's a nice little quick AFC breakdown. I got one more thing to ask you about. It's a specific player who's still going. He's still trucking along. He just topped 16,000 yards. It's Frank Gore. And some people may not know that you were actually taking three picks before Frank Gore in the 2005 NFL draft. Do you know Frank Gore? And if you do or don't, what are your thoughts on him and him still playing and whatnot?
Yeah, I know Frank Gore. You know, we had a few battles when he was at Miami and I was at Florida State. Like you said, we were in the same draft. Awesome guy. Great guy on and off the football field. The longevity that he's been able to showcase playing the running back position is something that you rarely see. And, you know, I hope to see him continue because I think he still can be productive, you know, whatever role it is a team may have for him, because it wasn't like he was just a dud for the Jets this past year.
I feel like they needed him.
Yeah, it's not a lot you can say positive about the Jets offense, but it wasn't like he just was a dud. He just was out there. Oh man, I think he's a Hall of Famer. I think he's a guy that should eventually get that gold jacket to walk into the Hall.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I know a lot of people will say, you know, and I've thought about it as well, that I don't know if there was ever a time when we would look at Frank Gore and say, oh, he's top two or three right now. But now that he's here at 16,000 yards, like, that's so unreachable. And we'll see many great running backs come after that. And they won't hit that mark. So, yeah, man, I just wanted to get your thoughts on him real quick, man. As always, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. I know you got the busy schedule. You're doing your thing on the podcast and on CBS, keeping us entertained, man. So I appreciate you coming on.
Man, I appreciate you having me anytime, man. And let's go get ready for some fun football. It's going to be a great weekend.
Yes, sir. I'm sure we'll be in the comments talking about the games and whatnot. We don't have to worry about no more Philadelphia Eagle tanking.
Not until next year.
Not until next year, man. All right, man. Take it easy. Have a good one.
All right. Take care.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to thank Corey Parson and Brian McFadden for joining me today on the Lord Don't Lose podcast. I also want to thank you guys for listening. Let's get to these playoffs, man. Let's get to these NFL playoffs. Let's enjoy it. Take advantage of the fact that you heard B-Max say it earlier, man. It's a great day to be alive, man. Take advantage of just being alive, because as long as you're alive, baby, you can make something happen. Oh, yeah, let's go. Ravens, Super Bowl champs. Maybe. All right.